Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. We've been going through Hebrews 11, and I've pointed out before that when I was young, this was often preached as the heroes of the faith. And the focus was on the people, the heroes of the faith. And when I got saved as a young person, I recognized that I had gotten a wrong understanding. I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't. I thought what it meant to be a Christian was to live a good life, a moral life, and to... Now, it's strange that I should talk like that, because I grew up in a good... up until I was in grade 7. So before I was in grade 7, I grew up under really good, solid preaching of the gospel. And yet, I had missed, I had totally missed it. And I understand what spiritual blindness is like, because I had set up this thing in my mind that, okay, I did bad, I'm going to do good to offset that. So I disobeyed my parents, I'll be good for a while, that'll offset the bad that I did. I lied to a friend, and he caught me in the lie, and I admitted I'd lied, and so he was very angry with me. He said, I'll never play with you again. And I thought, okay, I'll see him again, and I'll give him this little dinky toy car that I have. I know he likes it, and I'll give it to him, and it'll smooth things out. Well, they moved away. I never did see him after that. He may have known, I don't know if he knew that they were going to be moving away so soon, but it was just two houses down from where I lived. And they moved away to Edmonton, and I've never seen him since. And as a young person, it was bothering me. Well, I can't fix my sin. Well, I'd never been taught that, you know, this thing about, you know, weighing out the sin. I'd been taught that we can't do that. We can't pay for our sin. We can only accept the payment that's already been made on our behalf, because God loves us, and he sent his own dear son to die in our place. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So it's not plan B. Jesus Christ didn't come as plan B. He was promised to Adam and Eve, and all through the Old Testament they were looking forward to him coming, and he did come. And so his blood that he shed on the cross 2,000 years ago is the payment for all of mankind through all time. And tremendous that it was fulfilled as foretold, and we're looking forward to his second coming to be fulfilled as foretold. And we just see the times that are happening. So anyway, just wanted to, as a preface, that I'm not calling this the Hall of Heroes of the Faith, the Hall of Faith and the Heroes of the Faith. I'm calling it the Cloud of Witnesses. And that's from chapter 12, where it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. Well, so carrying on with the number, we talked about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, or Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents, and then Moses. And now we're talking about the people of Israel. Verse 29. And so if you're able to please stand with me as we read verse 29. And that's Hebrews 11, 29. And it's talking about the children of Israel. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, that I and others here could be learning from thee to know what thou would have us to do, and that it would be clear that if a person here is not saved, that they would understand what it means to be saved, and if we are saved, what it means to understand what it means to be sanctified, set apart, and pleasing to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. So, this is part three. You'll notice that in your bulletin, part three. And thank you for young Russell. I believe he's distributed the bulletins to everyone. Thank you, Russell. And so if you see in your bulletin there, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. This is part three because it's taking me so long to get through. Because I'm showing how, I'm attempting to show how this, well, the big picture, how Israel themselves are a picture of the individual believer in Christ. Israel as a nation. When we read about how they failed God so miserably, how God chose them from nothing, they were not a nation, and he made them into a nation, and that's a picture of us being lost and passing from death into life, having new life, becoming, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. But you read that and you go, well, when I got saved, I still would sin. And that becomes bothersome to some people. And rightfully so. The reason a person gets saved is because they recognize how terrible sin is. And sin is terrible. It's a terrible thing. That's the whole point of all those blood sacrifices throughout the Old Testament. That's a terrible picture. That's how bad sin is. I mean, it's worse than that, but it's just a demonstration of that we can't keep the law. Like, we're not good enough to be saved. So then you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ, and actually, for a lot of people, they have a testimony that a lot of their bad, the sins that they were committing, they just don't do them anymore. And but it doesn't take long before you realize, well, sin is a whole lot deeper than this outward things, and attitude is involved, and different things, and we see the children of Israel going through the wilderness and murmuring, and that's a sin, because God had demonstrated such a miraculous way of providing for them, and now they're murmuring. And so, I mean, I confess that even quite recently I've been brought up short on that murmuring about my lot in life. But the wonderful thing is God is demonstrated some things to me that shows me that he cares and that he's there and gives me the encouragement to walk and not be weary, as we have in our verse for the week, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so we see, so we're looking here that we last time I pointed out, now if you remember, after they came through the Red Sea, then Moses sang a song. And that song was about how glorious it was that God had rescued them from the Egyptian army. And in chapter 15 of Exodus, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And so, yeah, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. God gave Pharaoh lots of opportunity to repent and turn toward him. So the Bible talks about repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he failed to do that. And he said, who is the Lord? I will not let you go. And so he suffered that consequence with his whole army. And so before this happened, we saw the picture of the Passover lamb, that the children of Israel, that if they sacrificed that lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the door, the death angel would pass over. And that's an illustration, the Bible tells us later in the New Testament, that's an illustration of the fact that Jesus Christ would come, and he did come, and shed his blood, sinless blood, so that any who trusted in the blood of Christ would not perish eternally. So we all die, but and some people have been raised from the dead. We covered those 10 resurrections in the Bible. People have been raised to that, but they've only been raised from the dead to die again. Our life is short, but Jesus Christ is the only one that ever rose from the dead, never to die again. And he rose by his own power. These other people, they rose by his power. Jesus Christ, the only one who willingly laid down his life for us and rose by his own power. So we learned that song in Exodus 15, talking about the victory that they had, and then Miriam and the women went with their tambourines and they were just singing that, repeating that song, and the horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. Miriam, remember Miriam was Moses' sister that looked out for him when he was just a baby. And so quite amazing. And then how she and her brother Aaron and Moses helped in the leading of the children of Israel. Now, when we got to Revelation, and we were talking in Revelation chapter 15, and we discussed this somewhat last time, chapter 15, what we saw in verse 3 of Revelation 15, and they sang the song of Moses. So I thought, well, maybe that's referring to that victorious song in Exodus 15. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And so we looked into this last time, that these people that are singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, they're the ones in verse 2 are saying that did not take the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. So these are Jewish people who, the whole point of the tribulation period that is going to happen after the church is raptured, caught up to be with Christ in the air, for 7 years is going to be this terrible tribulation on earth like the earth has never known before. And we know some very terrible things people have done to one another in the past. Well, it's going to be so much worse than anything ever. Jesus told us that in Matthew 24. So here, God is going to protect these people during this time of tribulation. And here we find them singing. And they're singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Now we know the song of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the song of Moses, so this song here in chapter 15 is a song of victory. But there's also another song of Moses, and that's in Deuteronomy. We just turned there last time, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And this song is introduced in the previous chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 31, in the last verse of 31. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And so chapter 32 is that song, except not for the last 9 verses, but up until verse 43 is the song of Moses. And so give ear. So we'll just go through this. And I want to point out, so I guess I'll tell you the spoiler now. I'll tell you the conclusion now, so you know where we're headed with this. The spoiler is that if we go through this, we'll see that this song of Moses is a summary of mankind, of the life on earth, all the way from Adam and Eve to our time now, and to through the tribulation, where Israel as a nation will be disciplined for having gone away from the Lord. So here's the point. I said that the nation of Israel is like the individual believer. The Bible tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so God loves us, people that have trusted him for salvation. Well, he loves the whole world, but talking specifically about a child of God, God will chasten you. And that's wonderful. Each believer thanks God for his chastening, because we don't want to participate in sin. That was the whole point of getting saved. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our life. And God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be, or allow us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation give a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And so we're always, as a believer, turning to Christ and caught often not trusting in Christ, as we see through the Old Testament, Israel not trusting in Christ, even into the New Testament, where so many of them, like the leaders of many of the leaders, because we know some of the leaders did get saved, like Nicodemus. We sing that song. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer to him in words true and plain, he must be born again. And we believe he was born again, because he helped to bury the body of Christ and part of that. So, and he was called on, like the Pharisees called him out for, wow, are you going to be his disciple too? So it does look like he got saved. So not all the leaders were against Christ, but Israel is due for a licking. And that's what this chapter is talking about, how, all about the history of the world and how it's all going to end. And so I've given you that spoiler alert. Okay. So let's just get into this Song of Moses here. I believe this might be, together with the previous one, sure, but I think this one will probably be the one that they'll be singing in the tribulation, because they'll recognize, God has revealed all of this to us, and they as a nation had rejected it. But God is faithful, and so he's faithful with you as a believer. If you've trusted in Christ for salvation, things are not going very well in your life, and you're struggling with your the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. God is faithful. And I think I'll just read those verses right now. Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's talking about Abraham. Abraham trusted God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he believed that God was able to perform the promise, even though he was past age. His wife was past age. What was she? Was she 100 years old when she had a child? Or 90? Can't remember. 99? Okay, and so God was able to perform that miracle in their life. And so he trusted that God would. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And he does point out, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank the Lord Jesus Christ. So God comes through for the believer. And we can understand that, because no matter how bad Israel was as a chosen people, God was always there to discipline them, chasten them. And so as a believer, you too will be disciplined by the Lord, and you will thank God for it. Now the lost person doesn't get chastened by the Lord. They're like dead in their trespasses and sins. And when I say dead in trespasses and sins, it's not like totally incapable, like the Calvinists said, God chooses who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. No. God gives us the choice. So people that are dead in trespasses and sins also have the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It's the same Holy Spirit, but it's not indwelling them. It's like a conscience telling them that there is truth in God's word. the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. There's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. Look unto him and look unto me and be saved, he says in the Old Testament. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is none else. And talking about being saved in the Old Testament, and we're talking about saved in the New Testament. You need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to understand what that means, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. God loved you so much. He loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that perishing is eternal suffering in hell, and hell to start with, and then the great white throne judgment and being cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire was never prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And people choose to go there. And sadly enough. But anyway, being confident, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So do not be weary in well-doing. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then in 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, what he's talking about here, about the suffering that he's talking about, is not the suffering of his personal sin, like personally sinning. In this case, he's talking about other people sinning against him, like persecuting him. And you know that the Apostle Paul, he was actually stoned at times. And one time he was stoned that they had left him for dead. And he got up and went back into the city and continued to preach. And so even here that, for which cause I also suffer these things, and yet he recognizes that God is there, and that God is able to keep him to the day of that he'll meet the Lord face to face. And so Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus Christ is our example. He suffered that shame, and we can look forward to that to this joy being set before us. And how can we do that since we're so frail? You know, we're very frail because we're not the author of our salvation. Jesus Christ is. He's the one that's paid the price, and the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer is able to bring to remembrance the scriptures, the word, the written word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God can speak to us and make utterances to God even when we don't even know what to pray for. Isn't that tremendous? Sometimes do you find yourself, I don't even know how to pray. Going through some difficult time and I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But God cares, God knows. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, glad I said that, because we may not be able to get through all of this in chapter 32, but I think let's give it a try. So, the Song of Moses here now in Deuteronomy 32. This prophecy, as much of the prophecy, like even in Revelation, when we were going through Revelation, the grammatical way that it's set out is called prophetic perfect. And that means that it's talking about future acts as though they were past. And so the first part of the song here is talking about past events, but as we get into it, it'll be talking about things that they just came through and things that they'll be coming through in the future. So the first three verses of 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness unto our God. Earth and heaven, heaven and earth are summoned here. Give ear, O ye heavens, and O earth. And so, in a similar way, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, he does a similar thing. He calls heaven and earth to witness the fact that Jehovah God, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah there in your King James Bible there. That's talking about Jehovah, God of Israel, by name, the Lord. And so then I just point out that Moses has just finished appointing Joshua to be his successor as they go into, they're finished traveling for 40 years in the wilderness, and now they're ready to go into the promised land. Moses not allowed to go into the promised land because he struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and so he's not allowed to go in. But now he, and there I'll tell you, look at that. On a personal note, as a personal believer in Christ, the Messiah that would come, here Moses was refused entry into the land. He definitely went to glory, there are certain things, like in our life as a believer, that we may not be able to, there may be things that we've done in our life that may exclude us from doing some things that we would desire to do, because Moses desired to go into the promised land, but God allowed him to see it from Mount Pisgah. But anyway, so here he's appointed a successor, Joshua. And Joshua was about the same age as he was. He was in his 80s. And yet Joshua was allowed to go in. And Joshua and Caleb, together with all those younger folks, those that were not over 60 years old, the rest had died out. But that Israel would, in this song, he's pointing out that God had told him that Israel would renege on the covenant. And I forgot to mention in Wednesday, that's what we're going through the covenants, covenant. And so recognize that Israel could not fulfill the covenant. And so this song goes into pointing that out. And so in verse 4, 5, and 6, it's talking about the faithfulness of Jehovah the Lord and to his people. So 4, 5, and 6. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. The God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And so there it's pointed out that even though God has been faithful to them, they have failed to follow him. A true Jew, child of Israel, child of Jacob, the nation of Israel, the true Jew follows the steps of faith of Abraham, whereas the Pharisees, Jesus told them, ye are of your father the devil, because they had rejected the Messiah. They had rejected him as the Messiah. Now, mentioned earlier, not all of them. Of course, all the apostles were Jews, and many of the Pharisees did accept Christ as Savior. But those that were in ultimate power, they called for his crucifixion. They killed the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the flesh, and he raised himself by his own power 3 days later. And then verses 7 through 13, we see God's provision through the wilderness. And not only that, but how they were able to leave from Egypt. That's what Exodus means, is to exit from Egypt. So verse 7 and 8, remember the days of old. So now he's referring back even before. He's talking about way back to the Tower of Babel. So in the book of Genesis, so the book of Genesis chapter 11, he's recounting here in verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy fathers, thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, verse 8, when the Most High divided the nations into their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So here he's referring back to Babel, when after the flood, Noah's flood, Tower of Babel, the people were separated because they had coordinated to be against God. And so he points out here at the end of verse 8 that the nations, all the sons of Adam, were distributed based on language according to the number of the children of Israel. Because what happened eventually? All the children of Israel ended up in every nation of the world. They were spread out all over the world. And so God had that already planned when he planned out the Tower of Babel and how he would confound the languages. And so then verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And so that's talking about Israel coming out of Egypt. And verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And so we see that they are coming into just a summary of the book of Numbers. When they were journeying through the wilderness, God fed them with manna for 40 years and with quail. And then he's showing in this song, in verse 13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. And so here that's referring to the conquest of Canaan, where they moved into Canaan and they enjoyed the bounty of the land of Canaan. And so it's talking as though it has happened in the past, but it's prophetic. And so from here on, it's going to be talking about prophetic things at that time, and yet referring to as though it's already happened. And so verse 14, butter of kine and milk of sheep and fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats and the fat of kidney of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. And verse 15 starts talking about what happened in the book of, just to happen to them at this time in the book of Judges. But Jeshurun is God's pet name for Israel. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations, and provoked them, laid him to anger. Now previously, when they had gone into Canaan and conquered Canaan, so oftentimes we think about the failure that they had in Ai. Remember when they failed to conquer Ai? But they actually, when they repented, they went back and they did conquer Ai. How? God did it for them. They were obedient and God did the fighting for them, or the conquest for them. They had 31 wins out of 31 conquests, including Ai, which they went and did it again. But now, after having all those conquests, what did they do in the book of Judges? Prosperity can ruin you. Here they were complacent, very prosperous, and now it's the time of the judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. God, 7 times they rejected God in the book of Judges. 7 times he disciplined them, struck them. 7 times he brought them out. Doesn't it remind you what Arlen quotes that verse about the just man shall fall 7 times, but then rise up? So that's what I want to encourage us this day, is that to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Now look at that. I've not been able to finish this Song of Moses, but I do want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So it's talking about crossing the Red Sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You remember in the Song of Moses, he's singing about that rock? He is the rock. That was in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 10. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock, and that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And that's the basis of what I'm believing, is that the nation of Israel as a whole is an illustration of the individual believer, in that there are many wicked things in our life that need to be cleaned up. We can come to the place where on the outward appearance we look great. And in fact, strangely enough, there are people who profess to be Christians. Church groups, for example, like the Nazarene Church, talk about a second blessing, where they claim that they get a second blessing of the Holy Spirit, where they become perfect and they sin not. Sinless perfection. No, that does not happen to any believer in this life, because even when all the outward appearances are cleaned up, there's still all of the bad things we do in the first place come from within, out of the heart of man. You know, it's not the devil made me do it. Jesus made it clear that it's from within, out of the heart of man, proceed all these evil things. What happens when a believer is, when a person is saved, because they believe, they've repented toward God, and when I'm talking about repentance, is not remembering all your sins. We can't. Repentance is about turn. I'm going my way, and I recognize it's the wrong way. I go God's way. That's repentance. And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here it's saying that all these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And so individuals in that nation were struck dead and destroyed. Remember, destroyed by serpents and all kinds of things. Individuals were, because they were not believing. For those that did believe, where, like the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is like the serpent, like as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was. He was raised up, and it is all about looking and living. Look unto him and live. be saved all the ends of the earth. It's not about doing. Because once a person is saved, God is faithful to direct you and lead you into what the Bible says is sanctification, being set apart as a believer. So, just in conclusion again, do not be weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Because we can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I pray that that'll be an encouragement to some of you folks that may be going through some difficult times. If you have not trusted Christ for salvation, much of this will not understood, but one thing you can understand, if you're young or old, if you're not been saved, sin is a very real thing in our life. It comes from within, out of our heart. And try as we may, we cannot be perfect. We need to be forgiven. And that's a one-time deal where you come to understand that it's the blood of Christ is the payment for your sin. You can trust Christ. It's just that simple. And God will show you through his word how you can live for him, separated unto good works that God has appointed us to. And it's not good works that saves anyone. All right, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy word, for thy goodness to us. So many things that we can learn, but one thing we do know is that you care for us, you love us. You promised Adam and Eve that Jesus Christ would come. He did come, shed his blood for all mankind from the very beginning till now. And just having, like the thief, the one thief on the cross, was just as simple as, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so it is that that other thief on the cross, no, he was just trying to save his skin. He wasn't thinking of eternity. He wasn't thinking of thee, only thinking about himself. Pray, dear God, that we would not be self-centered, but God-centered. And the abundant life that you provide. And then the abundant life is eternal life starting today, the day of salvation, and going forward into all eternity, where it's ever present with the Lord. Thank thee for all this and all thy goodness. In Christ's name, amen.